Very pleased to welcome to the show now from ESPN, our good buddy Sal Palantonio to take us around the NFL. Sal, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Vic. How are you, man?
All right, man. Lots of news going on in addition to, of course, what we have the big weekend with the conference championship games. And I want to start with the Baltimore Ravens, with Ed Reed basically sounding off about Joe Flacco. And I can't figure this one out, but why, even if you feel this way, and I appreciate the honesty, but why, as a veteran player, I mean, he's been around this league a long time, and he's been part of a successful team for a long time, does he think it's a good idea, days before you're playing for the AFC Championship game, to talk about how Joe was kind of rattled by the defense that he faced this past week against Houston?
Oh, this is an easy one to figure out. This is so easy, it's ridiculous.
Okay.
This is a veteran player telling his young quarterback to get his head out of his you-know-where. And he's doing this on purpose, and I'll bet you anything that he has support in the locker room. Now, I've been around that team a lot.
Right.
I've been around John Harbaugh a lot. He coached in Philly. I covered the team all week last week. I'm covering the team this week. I'm on my way down a little later to Owings Mills, Maryland. I'll be there for the next 3 days.
Uh-huh.
I covered the team in New England. And I'll tell you, they wanted to sugarcoat it a little bit on Sunday, but after you look at it, you say to yourself, all right, do we have a shot if we repeat that offensive performance against the Patriots? And the answer is emphatically no. It is. I think it's on purpose. I think that's the why he did it, and I think today you'll see a reaction that tells you that. I mean, the Ravens went 3-and-out 8 times on Sunday, Vic.
Right,
8
right.
times. You're averaging 2.8 a rush. They scored 3 points in the final 46 minutes. We're sitting there in the press box during the game saying, my gosh, how long has it been? We're trying to calculate the exact amount. 46 minutes, 3 points in a divisional playoff game at home. Now,
right.
now, Texans are a very good defense. You know that. I mean, very good. This guy, Brooks Reed, can really play. And their right guard, Marshall Yanda, who's going to the Pro Bowl, could not handle Brooks Reed. They couldn't handle Connor Barwin. They couldn't handle J.J. Watt. I got to tell you, I was very impressed with the Texans front four. But now you're going into the Death Star up there in New England, you know, where Tim Tebow just got vaporized.
Right. Right. So it's so
I think it's on purpose.
Get his guy, get his mind right, as they say. And meanwhile,
gotta get your mind right there, son. No question about it. Absolutely, Vic.
And Joe Flacco, for his part, I mean, you hear the descriptions, the frustrations of a lot of Raven fans, frankly, and people who have no connection with the team, saying they don't see enough passion. They don't see a guy who seems just emotional or engaged enough in the whole thing that he just kind of goes through it. And you know Joe Flacco. I know Joe Flacco. Talking with him, he doesn't bowl you over with his personality. But I always thought,
neither does Eli Manning. I think
personality doesn't matter as much as how you play. But
no.
He seems to play the way he comes across, though, Sal. That's my point.
Well, I see what your point is. But let's look at it this way. Now, this season, including the playoffs against the Texans, he faced 12 top 10 defenses. His combined record against them was 10-2. So that's pretty good. And those 12 top 10 defenses were the most that any quarterback faced this season. Here's the formula. I mean, listen, Joe Flacco is not going to be Tony Romo, but Tony Romo gets too emotional for my taste.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Joe Flacco also, hello, didn't turn the football over. Matter of fact, Vic, Ravens had no turnovers in the game, no penalties in the game. They're the first team to do that in the postseason since 2004, and only the third team in postseason history in the NFL to have no turnovers and no penalties. Let me repeat that. That's the third. I just got this from Elias Sports Bureau. I had it checked out by ESPN Stats Information. I said, I'm going on with my man Vic Carucci in Cleveland. Give me something new. Give me something dynamic and exotic. And this is what they came up with. They are only the third team in NFL postseason history to finish the game with no turnovers and no penalties. So that's their formula to win. And I do love Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
Not like I love. I like a guy who stands in there, takes the punishment, keeps quiet. You know, the old line from Goodfellas, right?
Yeah.
You know, don't rat on your friends.
Right.
Always keep your mouth shut. That's Joe Flacco. I like Joe Flacco.
We're visiting with Sal Pelantonio from ESPN, bringing it strong here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Some news from around the league. The Colts make it a clean sweep, getting rid of Jim Caldwell, in addition to their vice chairman, Bill Polian, their general manager, his son, Chris Polian, and they start over. The remaining question now, of course, is Peyton Manning's future. Sal, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I mean, we got smarter guys at ESPN working on that pretty much on a daily basis, Chris Mortensen and Adam Schefter. But I think it's pretty clear that here's the situation. He's had three neck surgeries in 2 years. He's 36 years old, okay? Bottom line is, if you're going to keep Peyton Manning or not, you still have to draft Andrew Luck. So let's establish that right now.
Okay.
Right? You got to. You're going to keep him or not? You're still going to draft Luck.
Right.
Okay. Now the question of Peyton Manning, two questions. One, can he play? Two, can we afford him? And that's the new general manager, Ryan Grigson, who I know well. He spent many years here in Philadelphia.
Right.
Smart, young guy. Not a cap guy, so he's going to have to bring a cap guy in, but a good talent evaluator. But you're evaluating, as a first-year GM, a guy going to the Hall of Fame. So this is a difficult assignment for Mr. Grigson. And you've got an owner who flies by the seat of his pants a little bit, to put it charitably, likes to tweet a little bit, likes to talk to the media. So this is a delicate situation that could get very indelicate, I think, as the days get closer to 4,000 members of the media descending upon Indianapolis for the Super Bowl.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I do.
And if I'm Peyton Manning, you know what I'm doing? I'm taking a flight to Barbados. I'm getting out of Dodge. I'm not doing a round of interviews on Radio Row. Let's put it that way.
Oh, my God. Radio Row, I'm expecting a bunch of it to move to his house if he's in town. So, yeah, it'll be a very interesting week if he's in town. Sal, the move with Jeff Fisher, the decision to choosing the St. Louis Rams over the Miami Dolphins, and you hear a lot of buzz around the league that this just came down to him weighing the two situations and seeing where he had the most control. Let's face it, he was really the only candidate out there, the available coaching candidate, who could call his own shot, and he called it with the St. Louis Rams. Just interesting that he left the Dolphins sort of at the altar, because I think they thought they had a good shot at him. But what does this say for that Dolphins opening and where you think things are going to go with that position?
I think if you got a little truth serum into Jeff Fisher and you got him to open up a little bit, he would say this: do I want to wake up and face Tom Brady and Bill Belichick twice a year? Do I want to face Rex Ryan's defense twice a year without a quarterback? Do I want to play in the AFC East, probably the most unforgiving? I have to go to Buffalo, you know, where it's no picnic to play every year. I think that's that, and or go to the Rams, where you have a quarterback, where you have a dome,
yeah,
where you have a lot of cap space and where you have a high pick.
Yep.
I mean, to me, it was a no-brainer. I think for the Dolphins now, you know, the Dolphins need to find an offensive-minded coach. I think when you look around the National Football League right now, offensive-minded coaches, guys who can call a game and develop a young quarterback, are at a premium.
Yeah.
That's why you see all these coaches being interviewed who are offensive-minded. That's why Mike Mularkey, who's, you know, good guy, but, you know, he's been there, done that kind of, you know, he's not going to excite your fan base, but he could call a game, and he can probably develop Blaine Gabbert, so he gets the job in Jacksonville. So I think the Dolphins have to try to find that guy. I don't know who it is. There are not that many great candidates out there. If I were them, I'd get Marty Morningwig. I don't know why they've even waiting. Marty Morningwig, to me, is the number one offensive coordinator who could be brought in as a head coach out there right now. I know the Oakland Raiders are talking about. I know that he failed in Detroit. But you know what? Guys who get a second chance often do a better job the second time around. I think Marty Morningwood should be the number one candidate out there, and I can't believe he hasn't gotten other offers.
Talk about the cap space issues, the difficulties that some teams have, or some less than others, as in the case with the Rams. But one that's going to have a much more difficult challenge in this offseason in the AFC North, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the difficulties of keeping the band together of this veteran aging team. Talk of guys like Hines Ward and Casey Hampton needing to take pay cuts to stay part of this. The futures of some other players up in the air, maybe retirements in the wind on that aging defense, especially. Sal, what do you see with the Steelers?
Yeah, I think it's going to be wide open with the Steelers. We don't know. Some players are going to just flat out retire. Some players are going to have to take pay cuts. Some players are going to be gone. It's going to be difficult to keep the band together. But the bottom line is this. You got Tomlin, you got Bruce Arians, and you got Dick LeBeau, and you got Ben Roethlisberger. When you have that quartet walking in your building every day, you're going to be pretty competitive. And you also have an ownership group that knows what they're doing. So the Steelers probably have to regroup. I know Mr. Rooney said yesterday to Eddie Bichette at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette that he wasn't going to tear the thing apart. I saw that. But, you know, I think regrouping, starting over, pushing the reboot button is sort of the half-sister of tearing things apart.
No, that's a great point. And the other question regarding a team that you know, we saw just recently in the Super Bowl that isn't going back to the Super Bowl this year, thanks to the New York Giants, the Green Bay Packers, Sal. And what is your – because this has been – I've heard this now for days, the debate over whether they did the right thing by resting players at the end of the season. And when you lose, it's the wrong thing, obviously. But we both know through the years, and I cover those Buffalo Bills teams on their Super Bowl run, that it was all about preservation for that team. The Colts have gone the preservation route. Lots of teams do and still have success when they go the distance. The Packers – did look rusty. They did look like a team that needed some work at the end of the year. What's your take on that?
You know what? I don't buy that because you got to look. They did look, I guess, a little quote-unquote rusty, but I don't think that resting players in bye week and all that makes that much of a difference. You look at the other three teams that had the bye. They all performed pretty well. The other three teams all won. So I don't think you can use that as an excuse. I think the bottom line in these playoffs is real obvious, and I don't understand why more people aren't talking about it. It's the story of turnovers. Turnovers are killing teams in these playoffs. Saints, 5 turnovers. Packers, 4. Texans, 4. The Harbaughs were beneficiaries of 9 turnovers on Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
Jim, 5 on Saturday. John, 4 on Sunday. In the 2 postseason games, the Giants have had 1 turnover. That'll get you to move on. Because right now the league is so wide open. Offense is wide open. The game is wide open. So you're going to move the football in most circumstances, unless, of course, you're the Ravens.
Yeah.
But in most circumstances, you're going to move the football. So if you don't turn the football over, you're going to put yourself in a position to score. And that, to me, is the key. The Packers turned the ball over, and JerMichael Finley dropped balls.
Right.
And is that a sign of rustiness? It could be blamed on that. But, you know, the Texans weren't rusty. They had 4 turnovers. The Saints weren't rusty. They had 5.
Yeah, it seems to be too convenient an excuse. I guess you can make it work for you whatever way you want to.
Yeah, I think you can rationalize it any way you want. Let's give some credit to the New York Giants.
Yeah. Definitely.
Their offensive line play right now is the best in the National Football League of the Final 4, first rate. Their running game is a threat, and with the protection they're getting, you're preoccupying the safeties and the linebackers, and that's opening up the passing game for these good wide receivers.
Right.
It is amazing to me. All 3 of Manning's touchdowns came against standard pressure. The Packers could not blitz. They were afraid to blitz. They couldn't blitz. He was 12 of 19, 11.4 yards per pass attempt with 3 touchdowns and no picks when the Packers did not blitz.
That tells quite a story. That really tells the story, actually.
They couldn't blitz.
Yeah, Yeah.
And when you and so the Giants can't blitz, but guess what? They can get pressure without blitzing.
Right.
Yeah, huge difference. Yep. Huge.
They've got
if
extraordinary
you can get pressure
line.
Without blitzing in the playoffs, that's pretty much 50% of the game on defense.
No question. Sal, great stuff. Thank you so much for bringing it strong, as you always do. And
well, you don't want any predictions for me?
Well, you know what? I do. If you're going to offer them up on our airwaves, I'll take them, baby. What you got? Predict.
You know what? In our business, you know, you're allowed to root for the best story as a reporter,
yes,
right?
Yes.
That's always the way, right? You can't
yep.
root for a team, but you're allowed to root for the best story. Well, the best story left to me is John Harbaugh versus Jim Harbaugh in a Super Bowl. That's the best story. That's the one that I want to cover in Indianapolis.
Okay. Okay. So all is right. that your prediction? Or is that just your wishful thinking? I don't want you know, you're gonna make bold predictions or wishful thinking predictions. Give me which one.
I told you we can only root for the best story. So that's my prediction.
That's all we got. Sal, thank you so much and appreciate it and look forward to seeing you in Indianapolis, my friend.
All right, brother.
He is Sal Palantonio from ESPN joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now, EA Sports, it's in the game.